The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Okay, we begin with breaking news this morning. LA Clippers star Kawhi Leonard expected to miss tonight's Game 5 with the Utah Jazz with a right knee injury, and he could be out the remainder of the series. That according to sources of ESPN. Leonard tweaked his knee on a drive late in the Clippers' Game 4 victory. He stayed in briefly, but did not finish the game. Certainly not the news you want to get the show started with, but you came to the right place as we do have you covered. Welcome to First Take. I'm Charlie Arnold, joined by Freddie Coleman and Monica McNutt. Now, Freddie, we're going to get right into it. What is your reaction to the Kawhi news?
When I first heard about this injury, Monica and Charlie, I said, boy, it looked really innocuous when he had that injury in Game 4 and the Clippers went over the Utah Jazz. So if this is something that's going to keep him out of the rest of this series, that's going to be very interesting. But I got a message for Paul George. And Paul George, I know we're not friends, we're not close, but dude, this message for you. You have to tag Playoff P. Now you got to live up to it because Kawhi Leonard is that dude that you can't replace his production. Over 27 points per game, over 7 rebounds. He's a three-level dude. He can score at 3 levels. So Playoff P, this is now your basketball team. You can't be the Robin. You got to be the Batman right now for the rest of this series and lead your team to the promised land called the Western Conference Finals and beyond if Kawhi Leonard could be out for the rest of the playoffs. Paul George, for the first time in a long time, you are now the man. You got to step up and act like the man because the dude that was the man is not going to be there. You got to step into his place and be that guy. If you can't be that guy, then all those whispers and all that language around you is going to be true. They're not going to call you Playoff P anymore. They're going to call you Way Off P, and that's the last thing you want. So, Paul George, I hate to put it on you, but this is what you wanted, this kind of situation. Live up to it. Kawhi Leonard is not going to be there to bail you out. You're going to have to bail out this team and bail out yourself and your reputation when it's all said and done.
You know, Freddie, you're not wrong in that challenge, shall we call it, to Paul George. But as our good friend Kendrick Perkins has said, I have moved Paul George to my it is what it is team, right? Not that he cannot be a prolific scorer, not that he doesn't have the capability to shift the outcome of a game based on his performance, but I'm actually looking at the rest of this team. Because to me, the piece that has been the most confusing about this Clippers squad has not been what they can and cannot do physically on the basketball court. It has been the attitude with which they approach ball games. And what I saw from Kawhi Leonard that I have not seen from the rest of that unit, when it was go time in both the Dallas series and coming out of the deficit in the Jazz series, Kawhi Leonard took that on his shoulders without hesitation and rose to the occasion both offensively and defensively. When it comes to Paul George, skill, ability, physical body and capability, yes. But I'm not 100% sure that the attitude, which was still kind of like pulling teeth to bring it out of Kawhi Leonard, will be there. And so for that, I'm now looking at a guy like Reggie Jackson, who has shot the ball well in this series. I'm looking at a guy like Marcus Morris Sr., who has also shot the ball well in this series. Both of those guys are veterans in this league and have a little grit to their personalities. There has to be a way for the we will not be denied attitude to infiltrate this team. And the one thing that I've been the most impressed with the Clippers as this series has continued has been what they've been able to do defensively. They are flying around on that side of the ball, 1 through 5, and not just the person that is tasked with slowing Donovan Mitchell. And so if they can maintain that and allow their defense to then carry over into some offense, I think they give themselves a shot. But as much as it is the 65% and the plus or 30-point performances we've seen that will be absent, I'm also wondering who's going to step up and bring the mentality that the Clippers are going to need to get this done.
Monica, you're correct. Here's why you're correct. It has to start with Paul George. You're exactly right about
it.
Attitude adjustment.
I get it, Freddie.
I'm the same way. I got my head in my hands like this, too, about Paul George wondering if he's going to do it. But, Monica, he has to. You understand these things. You played at Georgetown. You played in Big East basketball. When a star goes down, when Broadway is ready and the lead is not there, the understudy better step up and be that lead, and you better go out there and knock it out of the park. You don't hear people complain about, boy, we came to see this and that was dreadful when the understudy stepped in. You can't have that if you're Paul George. Monica, you are 100% right in terms of this has to be an attitude adjustment. It has to be a collective. But you always need a leader of that collective. And for now, yeah, with the Clippers starting tonight, that leader has to be Paul George. If he can't do it, then you know what's going to happen. And you know this is a ball player. Man, oh, man, we can't rely on that guy. He may have to be not a 1A or 1B, but maybe a 2 or a 3 when it comes to something like that. If Paul George can't recognize that moment going on the road into the Utah building without the main guy there and he shrinks from that whole responsibility, then that's not just a Paul George problem. That becomes a Clippers problem. And then going forward, what do you do about that as an organization?
Freddie, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I guess I am tempering my expectations, my friend. I'm just tempering. Like, he might give me 26, but I don't know if the added, like, this is going to be a challenge. We have seen how rocking that arena in Utah has been. The colorways have been fantastic. The fans are on it. Prior to all of that, we know the reputation that that arena has in terms of being a difficult place to play. Listen, and I've maintained, unlike in the Dallas series, where I think the Mavs struggled to counter down the stretch, going home, Donovan Mitchell, I put my chips all into the middle of the table when it comes to do I trust him to be able to counter. As tough as the last game was, game four, within 2 minutes to go, there was a pathway to make it closer, to be at least in striking distance if you're the Utah Jazz. Now, the Clippers did hold off, but you're not wrong, Freddie, but I'm going to say this. So Paul George will need his incredible supporting staff and cast, rather, in that understudy role.
Yeah, a big piece of the puzzle we'll be missing in Game 5. Kawhi Leonard has had 26 30-point games over the course of the past three postseasons. That's the most in the NBA. So we definitely hope for a speedy recovery as far as he's concerned. Hopefully it's just Game 5 and nothing longer. But unfortunately, now we have more breaking news we have to get to. This also not good news. As first reported by The Athletic, Chris Paul has been sidelined indefinitely due to league COVID-19 health and safety protocols. So, Monica, what is your reaction to this news?
Well, the first reaction, Charlie, is that you hope that this is not, or you hope rather that this is an asymptomatic case for Chris and that he is well, right? Like, we still have to keep the human element in a mind in this, and we're still losing Americans to this horrible disease. So first of all, you hope that Chris is 100% going to make a full recovery and be well. And then the second part of it, give me the calendar. I believe if the series that they're waiting on goes to game seven, they wouldn't play until Tuesday. From what I understand, Malika Andrews reporting this morning that CP3 is vaccinated and that should shorten the time within this protocol. But immediately you're looking at the calendar. When can Chris Paul get back on the floor to go alongside his brethren in this Phoenix Sun squad? This is, and this is no breaking news, a drastically different unit if you take away the experience, the leadership, the floor general that Chris Paul has been to this squad. And then, of course, for all of us that have watched Chris for years and years get to the playoffs and have the worst timely injuries or now a COVID diagnosis, I mean, you absolutely hate to see this. So first thing up in my mind is his health. The second thing is, when can he get back on the floor? I think if he misses a game, that's a little bit different than if we're talking three games. So you hope that he can get back on the floor. And then you hate to see these kind of breaks for Chris, man. We're right here. We're finally getting to see the promise. Mm-hmm.
Monica, I echo everything you said. And the word that came to mind when I heard about this was snake bit. Because I remember something like this happening to a guy named Patrick Ewing of the New York Knicks. Not to the level, of course, of dealing with COVID-19. But how many times was Patrick Ewing snake bit throughout his whole career? He ran into the Detroit Pistons early, then the Chicago Bulls. Then when he finally had that team with Allen Houston and Latrell Sprewell and Marcus Camby, he breaks his ankle in a playoff series. They wind up losing in five games to the San Antonio Spurs in a strike-shortened season. We don't know if Patrick Ewing would have helped the Knicks win the victory, but the chance would have been a lot better with a healthy Patrick Ewing. That's what reminds me of this situation when it comes to Chris Paul. And you're exactly right. I'm more concerned about the person being healthy and people around him being healthy more than anything else. But for the first time ever in his career, he had the squad, a mixture of youth and also experience. All of that in Chris Paul and Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, the coach with Monty Williams. They were the healthiest team of anybody left standing in the NBA playoffs. And now you have this situation creeping with a guy that not only is your leader, but he was one hell of a damn closer in the series against the Denver Nuggets. When they needed somebody to go get it, Chris Paul's able to go get it. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that Devin Booker can't, or campaign definitely can't. You can't put that kind of pressure on him. But whatever this indefinite absence is going to be, is going to affect the Phoenix Suns, because whenever he gets back, remember, he can't practice with the team. He can't be around the team at all. Mm-hmm. So whatever continuity and chemistry you've been able to develop outside of games, that's going to be lessened a little bit. I can't remember a more snake bit NBA player since Patrick Ewing, and that guy has become Chris Paul. So, Monica, you're exactly right in terms of the person first, but we live on planet Earth. This really affects the Phoenix Suns on and off the basketball court. How they deal with that and when he comes back, or who knows, that's going to be the interesting answer. I'm looking to see how they're going to deal with this setback, with a team that was looking very, very strong to get to the NBA Finals and represent the West in the NBA Finals.
Well, that's my next question, because he is out indefinitely, but should he be out for the following series, how far can the Suns go, Monica?
Ooh, Charlie, do we have to go there? Do we have to think about that? I mean,
we have to speculate.
If either of the teams, if either of the teams that they're waiting on, whether it be the Clippers or the Jazz. Now, obviously, we also need to see how serious this Kawhi Leonard knee injury is. But, you know, they automatically lose an edge without Chris Paul. I mean, they, I believe, in the finals, but I don't think that they get out of the finals without Chris Paul. It's not just the X's and O's and the basketball part of it, right? It is the leader. It is the moment. It is in the fourth quarter through both of the series that we've watched this team come through. He's the one that shows up and goes 4-for-4 or whatever the case may be in the biggest moments of the basketball game. Mikal Bridges, Cameron Payne, Devin Booker, the whole gang, they have made tremendous strides, right? But this would be their first finals opportunity as well, right? And so there is, I don't know that there's enough words to express the difference that Chris Paul makes. Because on the flip side, if it is the Clippers, you got a guy in Kawhi Leonard, if he's able to get back, that's been there, done that, right? And if it is the Jazz, we're talking about a squad that has been in the top efficiency in the league on both sides of the ball all season long. And quite honestly, while I've loved DeAndre Ayton's glow up, I should say, in the playoffs, you know, you're going up against Rudy Gobert, right? Like, now, the Jazz missing Mike Conley probably is kind of the same scenario, but I don't like this team to get out of the finals if they don't have Chris Paul, if it gets to that.
I don't think this team wins the NBA Finals. I'm going to go out and say it right there, because that's how important Chris Paul's been to this basketball team. And you mentioned Mike Conley. It's weird you mentioned that, Monica, because Seth Greenberg, our NBA and college basketball analyst, he and I were talking about this before we came on the air today. And he said, Mike Conley and Chris Paul are sort of the same thing, because look how much that you have to have one guy facilitate everything, named Donovan Mitchell with the Utah Jazz, because Mike Conley was so good at relieving that pressure. Now you're going to have to ask Devin Booker to do the same thing, where that takes away his effectiveness, because Chris Paul was so good at making sure the guys got the ball on time, where that relieves a lot of stress on a Devin Booker, where you don't have to do everything. Now Devin Booker doesn't have to be that kind of Steph Curry combo guard to initiate the offense at times, and we've seen how that has not worked for Donovan Mitchell with Mike Conley being out in the last two games against an improved Clippers defense in this series. Now you may have to ask Devin Booker to do the same thing. Campaign, the backup point guard, averages 15 minutes off the bench. You're going to have to increase that to 29, 30 minutes. Who's to say he's going to be that much more effective? That's how many other people outside of the basketball court, when it comes to health, are going to be compromised, because Chris Paul was so central to what Phoenix was able to do. If he's out for an indefinite amount of time, and then you got to ratchet back up again to get this all started again, that's really going to retard the progress that they've been able to make to get to this point when you're the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah, it'll be extremely extremely unfortunate. So, again, for Chris Paul, keeping our fingers crossed, he will be able to play soon, get out of that COVID-19 protocol. But on a positive note, Chris Paul has now become the second guard to make All-NBA in his 16th season or later, joining the great Kobe Bryant. And speaking of great, let's take a look at what happened last night.
You can't show up for one night and get one game. I believe he can. I believe he will. I believe a night like tonight, KD drops 50.
We know their guys play better and more comfortable when they're in there, sleeping in their own beds at home. We got our work cut out for us. We're looking forward to it.
Let's get down to business.
Now, obviously, he's not himself, but he's a soldier, and he's fighting for his teammates.
That's it for this first half. It's been all Milwaukee.
So let's get down to business.
Durant for three. Durant fires, and hits. This is a classic game for Kevin Durant. 2-point Brooklyn lead. Middleton with a pass, and Brooklyn up.
signature performance for Kevin. Him to have the toughness, the mentality, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats.
What a game. Stephen A., you were just about spot on. A historic performance last night by KD, propelling the Nets to overcome significant odds to take a 3-2 lead in the series over the Bucks, a 114-108 win. KD played all 48 minutes, shooting 70% from the field, finishing with 49 points, 17 rebounds, and 10 assists to become the first player in NBA history to record a 45-15-10 game in the playoffs. So how you feeling, KD?
I don't even rank or, you know, look at performances. I mean, once they happen, I just try to move on and see if I can do it again. It was a fun game to be a part of.
Historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed. We know he's capable of nights like this, but to do it tonight, you know, we lose Kai. You know, James obviously is soldiering through, you know, his ailments. We're down bodies, we're wounded, and for him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin, and it was beautiful to watch.
The greatness was on full display. LeBron James shouting him out. Greatness, appreciate it while you can, people. And also, of course, the great Magic Johnson had to weigh in. He also had a tweet that he put out. Kevin Durant put on one of the greatest performances in NBA playoff history, scoring 49 points, 17 rebounds, and 10 assists, and leading the shorthanded Nets to victory, taking a 3-2 lead. Wow, that was a game. I hope no one turned that one off early because, wow, incredible till the very end. Okay, so look, after that performance, Freddie, would you say that the torch has officially been passed from LeBron James to KD?
It hasn't been passed, but he's getting closer to that flame. Let's put it that way. And he's not the only one that's closer to that flame when it comes to LeBron James being the best player in the NBA. LeBron James is still the best, but more than ever before. And that's not just Kevin Durant. There's so many other players that are getting closer and closer to that. As a matter of fact, there's a guy on his team called Anthony Davis that when he's healthy is a lot closer to LeBron James than people want to realize. But when you have that kind of performance that he had last night, and I said it before the game happened, this is the most important playoff game for Kevin Durant since the 2016 Western Conference Finals. When he played for Oklahoma City, they had a 3-1 lead in the series, and they lost that lead to the Golden State Warriors and lost that series. This was so much better, the kind of performance that he had for the first time in NBA history, that somebody had a game of at least 45 points, 15 rebounds, and 10 assists. He did that in spectacular fashion. So the torch has not been passed yet. But more than ever before, it's a lot closer because that dude may be even better now, ladies, than when he was before the Achilles injury, and he was a cheat code as it was. He may be even more of a cheat code now, especially understanding the game, playing in a place where he's happy, having that kind of pressure and reducing that pressure in a game that the Nets, if they did not win it, they were not going to win the series. Kudos to him. The torch has not been passed, but Kevin Durant is a lot closer to that flame of LeBron James.
Charlie, if I may edit the word choice in this topic just a bit.
Okay.
I don't know that it has been passed, right? But I do feel like KD did one of these. Like, I think KD is taking the torch, Freddie. And I'm going to disagree with you. I think that KD has gone and grabbed the torch and is now sitting on the mantle in the NBA. Here's what we do as consumers. The moments matter, right? And in this playoffs, especially a playoffs in which the Lakers have already been sent home, 1-2-3 Cancun, Kevin Durant gave us the moment that we're going to be talking about for quite some time. And quite honestly, moving forward, I'm looking at the complexion of this series completely different, whether or not Kyrie is able to return or if James Harden is able to go full strength. I think what we overlooked in this conversation going into this game, we've been lulled to sleep just a little bit by this idea of super teams. And KD had running mates with him in Golden State, and he had running mates originally, that was the plan, in Brooklyn. And I think we forgot just how lethal the one solo entity, that being Kevin Durant, could absolutely be. My favorite post-game quote coming out of this was from James Harden. He's like, you know, you saw the game slow down for Kevin last night. In the second half, he's directing guys. He's getting to his spots. And when he elevates, there's nothing anyone not close to his height can do. The dude that didn't want to guard Giannis. I mean, I'm sorry, KD,
wow.
That's close to his height.
It's but like anyway, that, huh?
He was 100% comfortable. And I think when you see elite scorers and athletes in their zone, this is why, and this is the promise of Kevin Durant. So the thing you mentioned about injuries is interesting because we know that he's coming back from his Achilles. While I don't see a high ankle sprain as a career ender, we can't deny Father Time is at play when it comes to LeBron. And injuries take a different life the older you get into your career.
I hear you, but this is the first really magical playoff moment we've seen from Kevin Durant since game 3 of the NBA Finals. Yeah, we've seen a lot more moments from LeBron James in these playoff situations. I do remember LeBron James having a 51-8-8 game. I do remember LeBron James in the chase down block in game 7 against the Golden State Warriors when he said, this is for you.
But
so we've seen a lot more playoff moments compared to LeBron James when it comes to Kevin Durant.
Freddie, but we talking going forward, though. Like, do you think, if I had to pick between the two of these, I think that there are more playoff moments ahead for KD than I do LeBron, just
right.
In terms of the makeup of the Brooklyn Nets compared to the Los Angeles Lakers, the size of which the league they play in, the East versus the West, and what I think Brooklyn is poised to do more moving forward. I will give you that.
Okay.
If we were going apples to apples, KD has more work to do. But moving forward, I think when you pick up the torch, it is understood that you got more work to do, but you are now carrying it.
I get it, but so does LeBron James, because LeBron James, it's got to be killing him to be sitting at home, giving Twitter love to Kevin Durant, thinking, man, if I was out there, there's no way you busted me in the mouth with 49 points. I'd have said, hey, coach, I got to take this guy. I can't have Chris Middleton do it. I can't have PJ, no points, Tucker doing it with all the shoes. I'm going to Mike Budenholzer and say, I'm LeBron James, baby. I got to check this guy right now. That's why
That's
I don't
the
think
the makeup of the greats.
Exactly.
I agree.
And when you're that great, if you're LeBron James, he's still that great. Think about this. In my opinion, he's the greatest athlete that's ever played in the NBA. We have never seen size, speed, and ability, and he's still doing it, about to play his second decade in the NBA. He's still the best. In the words of Ric Flair, he's still the best thing going. Woo! But until that happens, Kevin Durant is second on that list. But until that happens, the torch has not been passed yet. But it's only a matter of time, ladies. It could happen next year. It could happen the year after. But it's going to happen a lot sooner than even LeBron James wants to happen, because he still wants to be regarded as the greatest of the greats. But right now, he's still that great. But that level, getting a lot closer. Not just because of last that Kevin Durant's been able to do, but what he's been able to do, being maybe the most efficient scorer that we've seen in the NBA in the last 25 to 30 years. He got 49 points last night. He didn't have to take 490 shots.
Yeah.
That's how efficient he was. He's around that flame. He wants to grab it, but LeBron's like, not yet. But it's only going to be a matter of time. LeBron's got to go, here you go, and I have to step aside.
Okay, so look, Giannis has said that he looks forward to guarding KD in Game 6. Maybe a little too late, but that is what he has said.
Maybe.
But let's talk about KD. For the third time in his career, he has played all 48 minutes in this game. Guess who last did it? The first player to do so in the playoffs back in 2018? LeBron James. So
LeBron
he's following
James.
Right in those footsteps.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
All right, time now for quick takes. You each have 25 seconds. Freddie, you're first. Having just thrown five interceptions in Tuesday's minicamp practice, is Tua the quarterback of the future in Miami?
Of course he is. I don't know why people are making a big deal about guys not in full pads and having contact. Oh, he threw five interceptions. That means the Dolphins need to move on. He didn't have a full training camp last year, and they moved him in the middle of the season to get him some reps. He's going to be fine. He's the future of Miami. This should not even be a question or a discussion.
Monica, will Joe Burrow take the Bengals to the playoffs in 2021?
Charlie, my heart wants to say yes, but I think the playoffs are just a little bit too high of a bar. This is a team that won four games last year. Now, he was tremendous when he was on the floor and healthy. I do think that he returns to form and hopefully he's had a great season rehabbing that knee. Will the Bengals be improved? Yes. Will they get to the playoffs? I don't think so.
Jeff Saturday also here. Jeff, will Jordan Love – oh, we're going to Freddie. Okay. Will Jordan Love be the Packers starter in 2021?
In the words of D.L. Hughley, no. Maybe 2022 when Aaron Rodgers is not there. But I think Aaron Rodgers will be the starting quarterback for his final year in Green Bay with that football team. But to quote the Greek quote D.L. Hughley, Jordan Love starting quarterback this year for the Packers, no. He's going to have to wait until 2022 for that to happen and take over that organization.
All right, and speaking of the Packers, the reigning MVP, Aaron Rodgers, seems to be stress-free despite the speculation surrounding his absence at minicamp last week. Here's Rodgers on having some downtime.
It's been one of those quiet off-seasons you just dream about where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly, and you know, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, you know, I think that's what this offseason has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player.
All right, the man is straight chilling, no stress. Now, let's welcome in former Super Bowl champ Jeff Saturday, who also played with Rodgers in Green Bay. Man, Monica, are Rodgers and the Packers done? It doesn't seem like there's any issue on Rodgers' end.
Listen, this is done for me. I got two breakup songs that were beautiful songs, but that are relevant. To the left, to the left, everything you own in a box to the left, okay? And then I'm serving you some Maxwell Pretty Wings. Let those pretty wings flap around, set you free. All those, remember that song? It was so pretty, but it was actually a breakup song. This is done to me. I don't know why people think that Aaron Rodgers is playing around. We were all sort of taken aback when Le'Veon Bell held out when he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers, particularly at the running back position. We know how important quarterbacks are in this league. And if anybody has sort of the cachet to be able to pull this off, both financially and the credit in terms of his game, Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys. And so for me, this is a done deal. I think that he has absolutely dug in. I think he is setting a precedent moving forward. And it's an era of player empowerment. I don't think that there's any coming back from this. And the little shots flying in the media are certainly not helping mend the wound.
These two need marriage counseling where they can go and be with a mediator and say, what do you like about her? What do you like about him? Well, he has a nice phone voice. She does a great job making sure of managing the house. Whatever they got to do, they got to find some kind of marriage counseling. I still believe Aaron Rodgers is done with the organization in terms of the general manager and Mark Murphy, the president. They have not done themselves any favors. Why are you bringing up, well, the late Ted Thompson told me that this Aaron Rodgers is a complicated fella. That's not the right way to start marriage counseling between the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. But I firmly believe that Aaron Rodgers knows that even if he gets traded somewhere else, he's not going to have it any better for one more year in Green Bay than he has with a football team that was top five in offense last year, played the NFC Championship game on their home field. And if Aaron Rodgers did not have a couple of interceptions, we could be talking about this team that was in the Super Bowl against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the pull of the teammates and the pull of the people that represent the Packers, meaning the fans, and he's talked about that. How many times have you heard from Aaron Rodgers that it's not about the organization, it's about treating people fairly? I don't think he wants to leave those guys behind. Money, he doesn't care about. Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy, he really doesn't care about. But the dudes that he's gone to battle time and time again, he wants to make sure, if I'm going to leave, I'm going to make sure I leave with 1 year for you guys. And if we win a championship, then I can just go off into the sunset and be done with it and move on to my next life.
Yeah, Fred, I agree with that. I think when you look at what the Packers have done to Aaron Rodgers. I think the relationship is poisoned between he and Mark Murphy, Gutekunst, the whole organization from the front office. I do think, though, when you bracket down into the coaches and the players, that's really where his loyalty lies. And I think for a guy who talks about how stand-up people should be and, you know, philosophically, this is what we have to go and be about, and I think ultimately that loyalty, I mean, you saw all of his receivers held out for the OTA or didn't show up for the OTAs even when Jordan Love was there until it was a required mandatory minicamp, right? So when you look at what people have done, the team has kind of rallied around Aaron. So I think from his perspective, once you get to the season, but that's what it's going to require, getting to when you're playing meaningful games, I think that's ultimately when he gets in, because he realizes if he plays even close to what he did last year, they have a real shot at getting to the Super Bowl. Last year, I think it was David Bakhtiari, honestly, the starting left tackle who was injured. Had he been there, I think you might have a different score for the Tampa Bay game. So when you look at this and how close they are, NFC Championship game the last 2 years, this team is right on the cusp. To go start again, especially once the season has started, there's no way Aaron goes in. It's not going to be a Tom Brady situation where he can bring guys with him. All of that is long past. So as I'm looking at this, I would say this is still the best opportunity to prove not only to the Packers but the entire league how good you are. And there's nothing better than publicly embarrassing your ex by going out on an all-time high, right? Being like, hey, yep, got you a Super Bowl, got you to win. Still don't want to play for you. I'm done with the Packers in this organization. That's how I'm going to say goodbye. I think that rubs more salt in the wound than just holding out and not playing. I think he's too competitive. You know what I mean? I think those competitive juices flow. You want to be there, and you're getting older. Irrespective of how well you're playing, you know there's a clock on that as well. I think the competitive nature makes him jump in.
Saturday, I get you on the competitive nature, but I kind of feel like going and playing and being successful for this team is not how you stick it to them. Like, that's just not it for me. And we've heard so many times, and of course, you know, that guys say, you know, we're not getting into another dude's pockets when it comes to contract negotiations, so on and so forth. To me, he's already coming off of an MVP year and a divisional championship or whatever, being so close. He already has shown them what he's capable of. I think if he comes back this year, to me, that's like, okay, like, it wasn't that bad. And at this point, in terms of all of the fuss that he's made, I just don't see how you walk this back if you're him. He's going to be an in-demand commodity. And so he'll have options, especially with the way that guys are taking care of their bodies. Like, I'm less concerned about the overall age, and I think he's more focused on really sticking into this organization. And whether he goes and wins a Super Bowl and then leaves, to me, that's not sticking it to the organization, because Green Bay will be like, well, we got this championship. Thank you. See you later. That to me, that doesn't equate. Why would you do all of this if you still are going to come back and play because this is your best chance for a Super Bowl? Clearly, to me, he's willing to bet on himself.
And he's going to bet on himself with the Green Bay Packers, because that's the perfect way to stick it to an organization where you go out there, you win a championship, to Jeff Saturday's point, and then you say, okay, good luck without me. I'm taking the car. I'm not taking the kids, but I'm going to be okay. Good luck trying to manage this house without me. Good luck with that, because Jordan, we don't know. Jordan loves the unknown. I'm a big believer. Jeff knows me. Fear the known. Leave the unknown alone. I know the known in Aaron Rodgers. And if you're the Green Bay Packers, you should know the known as well. And if you don't know the known by now, then the unknown is going to frighten you to death when Aaron Rodgers leaves after next season.
Yeah, and I think it will speak volumes not only for Aaron Rodgers, but to the fan base of Green Bay that he's willing to just. And I think that persona and that the way people view him from his fans and his teammates is important to him, right? And when you think about it, he's already made it clear he doesn't like the front office. He's made that very even back to the Kenny Mayne interview, right? It's clear where he is, but ultimately he wants to show his guys, hey man, I'm with you, I'm gonna ride with you. And I think that's how he finishes this thing out.
All right, and the shirt that he wore during that video conference said, I'm offended. Maybe that's all he really has to say. All right, Jeff, thank you so much for your time and also your insight. We appreciate you.
Thank you all.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
And the NBA naming its top 15 players of the season with the 2021 All-NBA teams. Each year, media voters select the league's six best guards, six best forwards, and three best centers and organize them into three separate teams. So here's a look at this year's teams. On the first team, Steph Curry, Luka Doncic, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, Nikola Jokic. On the second team, we have Chris Paul, who just made some unfortunate headlines this morning. Damian Lillard, LeBron James, Julius Randle, Joel Embiid. And wrapping up that third team, Kyrie Irving, Bradley Beal, Paul George, Jimmy Butler, and Rudy Gobert. So a couple things to note. LeBron James landed on the second team for his 17th All-NBA selection, extending his record for the most in NBA history. Also, we saw a couple snubs, a few names not on the list. Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, and Donovan Mitchell, which actually really affects their pocketbooks in a lot of these cases. So, Freddie, who is the biggest snub, and who would you replace?
To me, you can split hairs, but I think the biggest snub is between Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker. And I'm going to take Donovan Mitchell as the biggest snub because how do you average over 26 points per game? Your team has the number one record in the NBA, the Utah Jazz, the best record in the regular season, and not one guy. The one guy that makes an All-NBA team is Rudy Gobert. Donovan Mitchell is more of a case to be on there. If I'm going to take somebody off, I'm going to take Jimmy Butler off that team. The Miami Heat were the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. In a loaded Western Conference, the best player in the best team, he can't even get a hearty handshake, not an attaboy from being on the All-NBA team when it comes to Donovan Mitchell. And that's not to slight Jimmy Butler. But his season in the East with Miami being a sixth seed was nowhere near as good as Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns being a second seed or what Donovan Mitchell did for the Utah Jazz being the first seed. To me, that was a big, big snub. And by the way, we're going to have all NBA teams. Since we're positionless basketball in the NBA, how about just have the five best players, the next five best, and the next five best? We don't need to go by two forwards, two guards in the center. If it's going to be positionless basketball in the NBA, then who are the best five players this year? That's your first team. Then after that, the second team. After that, the third team. Then I think you eliminate potential guys being on a team over some who got snubbed along the lines of Devin Booker, Jason Tatum, and my biggest snub, Donovan Mitchell of Utah Jazz.
I'm so glad you mentioned the positionless basketball part, Freddie, because that's huge. And I agree with you. Donovan Mitchell or Devin Booker are my two biggest snubs. And I'm going Donovan Mitchell. And I actually am willing to make a case that it was Paul George that robbed him of his spot. I just think when you look at what this Clippers squad was able to do over the course of the regular season, it's not just about the 1-2 punch. Kawhi Leonard had a great year, and obviously I wouldn't take him off any of those lists. But you look at a guy like Marcus Morris, who actually statistically was one of the best three-point shooters we saw this season. Yes, Paul George was able to score, but I don't think that his selection outweighs what Donovan Mitchell was able to do on the best team throughout the course of the regular season. I mean, Donovan was a guy that we put in the conversation for MVP, and I think should have gotten more serious weight in that conversation as well. So for me, Donovan Mitchell is the biggest snub. This may be a little bit wild, but I also feel that there is a slight case that Kyrie Irving maybe this wasn't quite necessarily that year. I mean, you think of the fluctuation we saw through the course of that season with the big three, and to my knowledge, he played some of the the most games out of the big three, but even still, the entire unit to me, the volume of games in which he actually played, I still think that Donovan Mitchell, you can make a case for either of those two guys from my case, and then I agree with you on the Jimmy Butler thing for sure.
Maybe the biggest snub, Monica and Charlie, regarding the All-Star, the All-NBA team snubs, is the account for Jason Tatum. Because of this, $32 million this could cost him. If I'm Jason Tatum's account, I would not want to have that kind of news. Like, you to make the All-NBA team, and it's going to cost you $32 million.
A lot of money.
I'm going to go to Dominican Republic. When I get back, we'll talk about this with everybody else. But I don't want you yelling at me because of this snub costing my client $32 million.
Now, there's two things to me that stand out from this whole conversation, Freddie. One, I cannot stand that it's like, oh, the media costs Jason Tatum this money, blah, blah, blah. No, if you're willing to negotiate this into your contract, then you got to live with however the cookie crumbles. But sure. The other part of this, when I look at the selections, all three teams, outside of a guy like Julius Randle, Jokic, some of the newer names, we are so hesitant to acknowledge the changing of the guard. And it has literally had to be beat into us in the course of this playoffs. I mean, Vegas had the 7-seed Lakers favorite over the Phoenix Suns. And I'm not going to act like I wasn't guilty of thinking that a healthy Lakers squad would knock off the Phoenix Suns. But we are so hesitant as consumers of sport to acknowledge the changing of the guard and just how dynamic some of these young guys, 26 and under in particular, are and how bright their futures are. And listen, we all hate injuries. But injuries are a part of the story, right? And the volume of games that a guy can actually play or the injuries that they deal with in the postseason, and I know that this is a regular season list, but injuries are part of it. If you weren't on the floor, the best ability now is availability, and we all know that.
Well, we're talking about the changing of the guard, so what say you about LeBron being on the second team, Freddie?
Yeah, it's justified because even when he was out there, remember, this guy had almost a career high in assists per game, so there's not a case to be made to take him and move him up to the first team. Yeah, he's right where he's supposed to be, being a second team All-NBA player. And the best thing, if you're LeBron James, you know he's going to use this as motivation because that's the kind of guy that he is. Any kind of snub when it comes to LeBron James, he's going to find that self-motivation and make it work. Not getting out of the first round, dealing with injuries, having those naysayers saying, like Monica McNutt, that the torch has been passed from LeBron James to Kevin Durant for being the best player in the NBA. He knows all, he hears all, he sees all from that standpoint. I guarantee you right now, Charlie and Monica, he's taking pictures of Monica McNutt and throwing darts at her picture saying, how dare you say the torch has been passed to Kevin Durant for me? So he is justifiably
for the record,
on the second NBA team. Defend your position. But he'll take any kind of slight, Monica. You know this. Anything that he can construe as a slight, he's going to use that to great effect. So he's right on the second NBA team, All-NBA team. But next year, look out for the King trying to take back his throne when it comes to being first-team All-NBA.
Defying age, for sure.
Yeah, well, LeBron James and Chris Paul are the two oldest players who made the list. They're 36 years old. Luka Doncic, the youngest at 22 years. And look, talking about this money, Joel Embiid, he's getting paid because now that he has made All-NBA, he's now Supermax eligible. So good for him.